sports animal. It's time for the Big Three, brought to you by the Metal Store. Discover why the Metal Store has become the name to know for premier manufacturer of quality metal roofing. The Metal Store is your one-stop shop for all your metal roofing and metal buildings.
Shovels for Baines at the rim, stumbling out of bounds, able to fling it out towards Tatum. Three to shoot. Tatum at the top, dribbling on Thompson. Pull-up jumper. Good! And he stares down the Cleveland bench, maybe looking at his cousin Ty Lue as he knocked down the 18-footer.
Our friend Adam Amin on the call on ESPN Radio last night in Boston takes 3-2 lead over Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals. Can anyone show up on the road in this series? Anyone?
No, it does not appear to be the case, Marcus. Hey, this just in, Jason Tatum's a stud. He's been balling. He was looked like the best player on the floor last night. But no, it is the contrast between home and away for these teams and the level at which their players play, especially the role players. It is just crazy to me, Mark. It's championship basketball. Veterans from Cleveland are a complete no-show when they go in the Boston Garden. Yeah, when they get back to the queue in Cleveland, they figure out how to play. All the credit to Cleveland, though. I thought their bench was great. Marcus Smart really showed up last night. Marcus Morris off the bench. Jason Tatum, as we mentioned. And here's the crazy part. Boston was far from great shooting it, Mark. They did not shoot it well at all, like 33% for the game. But they had the energy. They played great defense. And, you know, they won every other category, rebounding, free throws, all the little things, took care of the basketball, and that really wasn't much of a contest. So I was dead wrong on that one. I fully expected Cleveland's veteran role players to continue what they started in Cleveland there in Boston, and LeBron would have a big game. So I was way off on that one, man. And, boy, just the body language, Mark, of Cleveland was not very good. Even LeBron, the great LeBron James, he didn't play very well last night, and it was all over his face. You could tell he was gassed, man. He was definitely gassed.
I don't think you can wait until Game 7 to bring the good body language. You know, I think Cleveland will probably even the series in Game 6. I think they'll probably win it at home. This tells me a couple of things, several things. One of the things it tells me is that the Western Conference champion is going to crush and annihilate and systematically destroy the Eastern Conference champion. I just don't think that there's much level between these two teams. I don't see it. The West's going to have the home court in the NBA. I don't see a championship series going any longer than 5 games. Two, that when the Celtics last summer, remember when Danny Ainge, people were talking about that they like Jason Tatum number one, as the number one pick, the number one player in the draft? How much better has he been this year? Now, he's in a better system, clearly. But how much better has he been this year than Fultz and Ball?
Not even close.
Extremely better. Not only is he better than Fultz, he got over so much on the Sixers that he got a draft pick from him.
He got a draft pick from the Sixers and moved back and still got his guy. That was what Danny Ainge. I would completely miss the mark on Danny Ainge. Danny Ainge was just sitting back waiting to make his big moves and his marquee moves while collecting all this talent, and I thought he had missed the boat. Boy, I was dead wrong on that. Danny Ainge is. Jaylen Brown, how about that pick? Great draft pick, right? Jason Tatum appears to be an absolute great draft pick, and the way that they've been able to acquire draft picks, and now they're acquiring stars and Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving, who aren't even playing in this series. Danny Ainge has been very impressive, Mark.
If you're going to have a draft for coaches, executives, and players, I might take Danny Ainge ahead of Brad Stevens, because Danny Ainge – he might knock down a three-pointer for you at his age, and definitely he could take a hard foul. So if we're going to start drafting executives, I would think that Ainge might be there. We've got a good show today for you. We have Doug Gottlieb coming on today at 12:20. We also have Tim McMahon coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, and he will debrief us on what's going on in Houston, Golden State. A couple injury issues for the Warriors tonight. Andre Iguodala and Klay Thompson listed as questionable. Hopefully I would think that Thompson would play. I'm not sure about Iguodala. What did I miss?
No, just a couple of more things on that series, and we can move on. I'm just so tired of the lack of competitiveness for the road team in these, Mark. And I don't know if we'll get one in Game 6 either, but it has not been a fun series on a game-in, game-out basis to watch. And I hope we get that if it's one game or if it's two games, whatever it may be. At this point, I don't really care. It also just tells me, I've said this for a while now, but I guess my biggest takeaway from last night, I don't see LeBron James staying in Cleveland, Mark. I really don't. At this point, I'm going to be maybe I'm nuts, because maybe living there at home and his kids in school and, you know, all the heat that he took for leaving the last time, he can expect the same heat. He doesn't want to have to deal with that. That's all true. But from a basketball standpoint, if his number one interest is trying to win as many championships as he can before he's done, it's not in Cleveland. I think Cleveland, that ship has sailed. I don't think getting Paul George – Boston's only going to get better. I mean, Boston's only going to get healthy and get better. That's my biggest takeaway. I guess if they're able to come back and win these last two, that'll be tough for him to leave a place where he goes to the NBA Finals. But if they can't turn something around and find a way to win one in Boston, which seems like it's not going to be possible, I don't see how LeBron James stays there, Mark. I mean, the supporting cast is just not present. And they got some bad contracts that they're locked into for the next couple of years.
All right, you mentioned the body language earlier. LeBron James did address Cleveland and what looks to be a team that is exhausted mentally and physically.
How did you feel out there today?
I had my moments, but I think everybody at this point is tired, worn down or whatever the case may be, but still trying to make plays to help our team win, put us in position to win. And we had moments, we had an opportunity, but we didn't make enough plays.
I'm not mad at him for being tired. That dude should be tired.
I'm not
He's played
mad
a lot
at
of
him.
Basketball this year. He played a bunch of basketball in the regular season, probably more than is optimal for him to play in the regular season. I have no idea why, because it looked like the Cavs were kind of sloughing their way through the regular season, and somewhat LeBron included, on the defensive end of the floor. I don't think that anyone he's carrying the rest of this team.
But that's,
he's
that's
carrying
furthers
the rest of the team
point,
right
though.
Now. He's going to have some of these guys produce.
That furthers as he gets older, he can't keep doing that.
The only issue for LeBron in leaving Cleveland is telling the fans.
I got it. I understand. I don't think that's going to be – I mean, the one reason why I think it – I mean, it's going to be a little different. Lee, he did win a championship, right? I mean, he did bring a championship to the city of Cleveland, so maybe that gives him a little bit of goodwill with the fan base. But he's only getting older, and I mean, it seems like he's invincible. But Father Time, it's undefeated. He's going to stay undefeated. At some point, he will wither away and break down. And if he doesn't have other people around him, if this team is going to be comprised where they have to completely be on his shoulders night in, night out for 82 games, and then all throughout the postseason. I don't know, man. It's got to be a hard place for him to want to stay and think that's his best opportunity to win at the highest level. So, I mean, again, he has had to carry him, but I thought last night that was what was shining through. Not only were they playing poorly, but I mean, he's been having to put this team on his back and drag him across for quite some time now. And I just wonder, after he sits back and evaluates the season, if he's going to want to continue to do that. I thought what, Ty Lue felt or said after the game what I felt before the game going into game five.
I mean, we didn't play well. I didn't expect this. You know, I thought we would play better, but we didn't. We didn't play well, so now we got to go home, win game six, and come back here for game seven.
I'm right there with him, Mark. I thought they were going to play well. I thought they were going to play well, but they did not. I mean, they did not. To expect a road team to show up and play well at this point, that'd be a fool's errand, Marcus.
It's Groundhog Day. It's the same thing that happens every game. Home team, more energy, better play from the role players.
I'm going to give it up to you big time if this Boston Celtics team without their two superstars is the team that finally dethrones LeBron and breaks up, you know, after going to seven straight NBA Finals. That's shocking, isn't it, Mark? Because this isn't the best team that he's played. I wouldn't think.
I know I've mocked the draft Brad Stevens campaign, but they've done it by playing smarter and harder than their competition. They've played harder, I think, in this series, at least at home, and they've got one more game at home. They played way smarter than Philly. You know, that series looked a little bit different. I think Philly as a group, as an entire unit, had more talent, collective talent, than what Cleveland had. But they kind of used the Jedi mind war on them to advance in that series. And here we'll see if they can just muster that home energy and crowd to to get to the NBA Finals, which I think that the NBA Finals to me would be more fun to watch if it's Boston than it is Cleveland.
Probably
I've
so.
I've seen the Cleveland Golden State series. I don't think that either one is going to be competitive, so just give me the new blood in there.
We'll see. It sure feels like this thing's going to go back to Cleveland. They're going to win. It's going to go back to Boston. And we've seen exactly what the Celtics have done, not just in this series, but the entire postseason, is they are undefeated. Again, just a completely different team there inside the Boston Garden. We got a game five tonight, Marcus. Before I ask you anything about it, Mr., how you feeling?
Oh, I don't know.
Nervous?
Not really.
The hell is that?
I don't know. Give me an opinion. About it.
You haven't thought about it?
I haven't really thought about it.
You haven't thought about game five?
No.
What are you thinking about? Is there something going on that we need to know about?
I don't know. I don't know.
You haven't thought about game five. This is like the 100th game of the season.
It's close to it. This is the most important game of the year. I don't think that. I think they can win back-to-back if the Rockets lose. I think they can win game six and game seven.
But this is the most important game of the year.
Yeah, but then game six will be the next most important. Then okay. Game seven will be even more important.
Well, I'll ask you the morning of game six or the afternoon. How you feeling that day, too?
I don't know how I'm going to feel.
You know what?
Can you rank what you think is important today? Or is it just nothing important?
Number one is game five.
Okay.
Now, number one is this show, obviously. Then number two is game five.
Golly. Just not much on your agenda, not much to be worried about. Because at this point, you couldn't even tell us.
I have something that I care
about.
If we don't care about Game 5, which we will discuss with Tim McMahon at 1 o'clock, last night was a great win for the United States of America and the nation's capital.
Wilson dropped to Kuznetsov, to Ovechkin. He scores! Alex Ovechkin, 1:02 into the game, blast one from just beyond the top of the left circle. And the Caps have taken a 1-0 lead.
Hey, congratulate Mark. I was never against the Washington Capitals.
You're blowing my mind. How are you not against the Washington Capitals? I tell you what, I've been waiting since yesterday to get
I'm
a piece of you on the air. I want a wager on this series. I want the Washington Capitals. I want to watch the Stanley Cup Finals and have a rooting interest. And I want to beat you down, Dusty. That's what I want.
It's funny. You know what's funny, Missile? What I realized yesterday, I was thinking about it.
What's that?
I know what's happened here. Mark Rogers is Russian. You know, he talks all this about America, Washington, the capital. This dude's an Ovechkin fan. Where's Ovechkin from, Mark?
Russia.
Mother Russia. He might be a damn spy, okay? He might have something to do with the election. Mark, were you behind the election, Mark? Are you a Russian spy?
I can't take any responsibility for the election, not even voting in it.
Is this espionage here?
I just think that you are the plight of the Washington Capitals. You have been so caught up in the Las Vegas and the Golden Knights and the fact that they had an expansion draft and all this stuff. You've overlooked all these hard-working Capitals in Washington, D.C., and the great player that Ovechkin is, the fact that they failed several times, and they're right now at the precipice, so they were last night, of being in the Stanley Cup Finals. They crossed the threshold last night, and we have Washington, D.C. against Vegas.
Do you kiss a Vladimir Putin picture at night? Do you have the picture of Putin on his horse with his shirt off?
I never said I love Russia. I just said I like Washington. I like the Washington Capitals.
Now, Ovechkin yesterday. I mean, gosh, you were just in love with him. I mean, he's a Russian. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. It is what it is. It's hard for you to declare your love for this country when clearly your rooting interest relies with Russia. So
you do not want any part of this wager. The Caps are the underdog in the series.
Okay, yeah, I'll take my Vegas Knights. It won't take me long at all.
Even wager in this. The pizza goes to the winner. Bill goes to the loser.
Here's the problem for me. Right now, I mean, currently, you're looking pretty good on your Boston Celtics pick, which is very odd. You've bet me two pizzas there, but you've bet a pizza with Craig. So you're on both sides of that one. But then if Golden State, I'm sure you still feel very good about that. So potentially I could be down four pizzas to you by the end of the weekend. So do we want to ratchet this up? You want to go two pizzas on the cup, or are we just going one? Because there's a chance that
I don't want to plow under the work I've already done on the NBA. So no, I'm just going to go with the one, just the one.
I have one name.
You can load it up with toppings if you want.
I have one name and one name only: Marc-Andre Fleury.
He's tough. He's standing on his head.
I'm going to eat my pizza out of the Stanley Cup. That's what I'm going to do. You can go hang out.
Great Stanley Cup. The great Stanley Cup memory that I have. I'm going to tweet this out.
You'd look good with your shirt off on horseback.
Of course I would. I'm going to tweet this out when the Stanley Cup Finals begins. Is a picture of Curtis with the Stanley Cup in the Sports Animal Studios, signed by Coach Doug Sauter, with my name on it. To Mark. Enjoy the Stanley Cup. So you have to see it to get it, I think. All right, we'll take a break.
Pumped.
We'll come back.
I'm pretty pumped about this.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm in possession of it. I saw it the other day. When we return, we will visit with Doug Gottlieb. I'm sure Doug has got a lot of things on his mind. We'll talk some NBA conference finals with Doug and more. Stay tuned to the Monsters. Yes?
Before we depart and we bring Doug on, I just want to tell the fine people that I'm at H&H Shooting Sports today, I-40 and Meridian here in the heart of Oklahoma City. And guess what? Memorial Day weekend safe sale event starting tomorrow, going through Monday the 28th. You're going to take 10% off all current model year safes, 20% off all 2017 and older safes. H&H proud to carry the largest selection of made in the USA safes from Browning and Liberty. Take up to 20% off during the Memorial Day weekend safe sales event right here at H&H Shooting Sports, I-40 and Meridian. Marcus?
We'll return with Gottlieb after this. Stay tuned. Over 100 points.
Well, the closest game's been 9. Cleveland's won.
It wouldn't be 100 yet.
Cleveland's won in 2 games by 39. But I think game 1 was probably around 20. I'm sure I could just pull it up. I'm trying to remember. It's been a lot, though. Let's go to Fox Sports 1. Talk some NBA hoops with the great Doug Gottlieb. How you doing, Doug?
I'm good. How about this? These series are crazy, aren't they?
Well, okay. So, obviously, I understand home court advantage, or I understand, you know, being in a what it's like as an athlete, as a player, to be at home as opposed to on the road. Like, I get it all. But, and you know, in basketball, it's so much more pronounced. And I'm just wondering, explain to me why in certain series or why in college basketball, but especially in this Eastern Conference Finals, while these teams and the role players primarily look so completely different when they're on their home floor as opposed to on the road. There shouldn't be that big of a discrepancy, Doug.
There shouldn't be, and it's funny, you know, here, you know, the juxtaposition of home court advantage when in the other series both teams have won a game on the other team's home court, you know. I would say, honestly, the two biggest things are, for the Celtics, it's youth. And more than anything, officiating. You know, teams are able to, the Cavs were able to get away with being super, super physical, whereas, you know, Marcus Morris was calling for a couple of really quick, cheap fouls when he was in Cleveland last night. And going back to game 2, Boston was allowed to be really physical. Then you combine that with, you know, young guys, you know, feed off the energy of their home crowd, get into foul trouble or get down themselves when they're on the road. So, there's some matchup stuff, too, but I would say those are the two biggest things is, you know, young players going up and down with the energy of the game, playing home versus road, and the confidence of Jaylen Brown and his teammates. And the other part is, and I think the bigger part is the officiating. You know, Celtics allowed to get away with just being brutally physical games 1 and 2, getting a tight whistle 3 and 4, and the opposite is 10 and 5. And the opposite is true with Cavs.
The Cavs veterans are the biggest goats in this series to me. I'm not talking about greatest of all time. These guys look like they're ready for Cancun.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, part of it is this is who they are, you know? I mean, look, LeBron is – these guys were handpicked by LeBron. Now, in fairness, they were also
Where'd Gottlieb go?
He black out?
Where did he go?
He's
gone. Is he in an elevator today? Is that line still blinking, Mizzle?
Doug! The phone is still connected. I don't know where Doug went.
Please let us know you're all right.
Douglas!
Say something. Hello!
Hello, hello, hello. Is there anybody in there?
I don't think he's
Doug!
In there.
I'm here. What's up?
Would you?
Wow.
Well, how did I lose you?
Are you maybe
hit the mute button with your face? I'm sure they were great. You're just going to have to make them again so people can hear them. You might have hit, like, the mute button with your face. Mark, where did he leave off?
You're about to be honest with us, I think.
Okay. You're going to be honest.
So look, Mark, I agree with you. They look bad. And on the other hand, you know, they were also put together, most of them, to play with not just LeBron, but also Kyrie Irving. You know, you play shooters around two guys that are shot creators, and then everybody else does their job. I think the biggest thing is, you know, I don't know why they paid J.R. Smith so much money. You know, he had become a fringe NBA player, and LeBron had saved his career. That said, winning an NBA championship with J.R. Smith as your starting two guard, I mean, that's the stuff of legend more than anything else. And then, you know, Tristan Thompson, there's a guy who sometimes he has great energy, sometimes he doesn't, but also some of that is matchups in that playing against legit big guys, he can't do anything. He's not a great rebounder, defender, shot blocker. But when you play against small ball big guys, now all of a sudden he's effective. I thought that's where Brad Stevens won the game last night, was in those adjustments.
Is this thing going to stay true to course as we've seen and going to go seven back in Boston? Think Cleveland gets it on track in the queue?
I can't tell. I really can't tell because as much as, you know, you look at game four, for example, game four was a lot closer. You know, they got blitzed out of the gate, but it was a 7-point game late in the fourth quarter, and Jaylen Brown took a terrible shot. Marcus Smart took a terrible shot. They you know, there were some plays to which there were some 5-0 and 6-0 swings because of it. And then you look and Kyle Korver made shots that he hasn't made since and he won't make again. So I do think that Boston has a chance to go all in. I guess my question to you guys is this. Is it possible that LeBron James was a little bit, didn't feel great last night? And not only did he not feel great, but he's also going to conserve energy because he knows this thing is going to go seven.
Possibly, but
I don't blame him. I'm sure he's tired, physically tired. I think that he played a ton of minutes in the regular season, and he's had to work his tail off in the playoffs so far.
I think he's gone, Doug. That's one of my big takeaways. I don't see how. If they can move somebody and bring in one other guy, I mean, Philly's getting better. Boston's going to be better when they have Hayward, when they have Kyrie Irving next year. I look at that Cavs roster. I look at some of those bad contracts. And if LeBron James' number one interest this offseason is putting himself in position to try to get another championship before he's done, I don't see how that's in Cleveland, Doug.
I tend to agree. And he's somebody who's not afraid of change, and he's been able to show that he can win wherever he goes. So I guess the question is, what's the best fit for him? And I know that people are like, well, look, the Lakers are in the West, and the Lakers would still be behind the Rockets. And the Warriors, but man, if the Lakers can get Paul George and LeBron James, or maybe Kawhi Leonard as well, maybe package what they have to go and get a Kawhi Leonard as well, that's a championship caliber team, depending on who they put around them. Even without Kawhi Leonard, you're in that discussion. And remember, Chris Paul is a free agent. So there's a lot of possibilities there. I tend to agree with you that he's probably gone. The only thing holding me back from agreeing with you totally is look at the respect that LeBron James is getting. Here they are. They're trailing 3-2 in a best of seven series against a Boston team that doesn't have their two best players. Right? So this is a series. Remember, they're the favorite to win the series. Even after losing game one, they're the favorite to win this series. And people are still not, and why should you be critical of LeBron James? He has put himself in a place to which it's kind of a no-lose to stay in Cleveland. So I wouldn't totally close the door just yet. Imagine if they win six and win game seven and go to the NBA Finals for another year in a row. Does he then absolutely leave Cleveland? I think the answer is I don't know. I really don't know.
I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet either.
If they win the series, I think that maybe he stays around. But man, he's got to be looking around, going, "Hey." And by the way, at this point in time in his career, he's not looking for attaboys. He's chasing Jordan. Okay, and there's some that'll say he'll never catch him, but LeBron James, that's where he wants to go. So it's not about taking good teams to the finals and losing. He gets chastised that already on his resume, and he'll do it again if he makes another NBA Finals. The only way he changes that narrative or even gets in that conversation for a lot of people, which you know he wants to be, is if he wins championships.
And
I'm saying it's not in Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't know that he can go someplace and guarantee himself a title. Hey, Doug, we don't have you for very much longer. I do want to ask you this about the Western Conference Finals. I was stunned the other night for the last 7.5 minutes of that game that the Rockets put at such a frenzied pace defensively on the Warriors that they forced them into so many bad shots. I thought that was stunning. I mean, it made Golden State look like they were arrogant. They kind of didn't want it. But I was thoroughly impressed with Houston in the series. I still don't think they're going to win, but that was a great performance at the end of Game 4.
The best point you made was that it looked like Golden State was discombobulated, right? They looked like the team that hadn't been there before. They were rushing shots. They kind of freaked out. I think the physicality threw them off. They did. It was a frenzied pace. They got all screwed up. Now, the beauty to it is they got 2 or 3 games to figure it out. But I'd agree with you. I was really impressed with Houston. I do think officiating played a part in that. Again, these games get really physical. And we've seen this from KD. Now all of a sudden he's posting up 18 feet from the basket instead of 10 feet from the basket. And he took a couple of terrible shots. Steph took a couple of terrible shots. Klay took a couple of terrible shots. I also think, though, that not having Iguodala is bigger than people think. Even though he's a non-shooter, he knows where he's supposed to be as opposed to Kevon Looney and Jordan Bell just kind of being in the way. Kind of like Andre Robertson was always in the way for the Thunder. It's really hard when there's an extra guy or two in the lane muddying up that lane. But, yeah, I can't take anything away from Houston, from Chris Paul, and making shots and getting stops and holding a prolific offensive team to 13 points at home in the fourth quarter. That was all them. And I do think it was they made the game kind of frenetic and ragtag, and that did not play to the strength of Golden State.
Who you got tonight, and is that dependent on if Iguodala plays?
Yeah, I think he's going to play. He went through shoot-around. Steve Kerr just came out and said Clay's going to play. Look, I think Golden State wins, but I'm not sure. I would not bet in Vegas, even straight up. So I'm going to be watching. I love the idea that we don't know the outcome. So whereas I thought the outcome of this series was not at all in doubt going back 48 hours ago, now I do.
Thanks, Doug. We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you again very soon.
Later, dude.
Thanks, Doug.
Later. You think he muted himself?
100%.
That really happens.
That's the face mute. It happens, though. You do it from time to time, right?
I hate it, man, when you're outside and you're
face,
kind of sweaty
so
in the phone, yeah. And the phone starts to get greasy, and then all of a sudden your face is pressed a bunch of buttons, and you end up in some app, and you never know what happens. You know what I mean?
Well, I can't really go there with you. I mean, I know
your
what you're saying. Oh, you know my whole body sweats. I'm just saying I've muted my phone before, but I've never been inside of some app playing some game and not realized it just by using the side of my face. But that actually sounds like a talent you have, Mark.
Well, you only have to hit a couple buttons when you're talking on the phone, and then all of a sudden you're down into some program that you never know. Like, I've had icons open up on my phone. Maybe you could teach me how to use my phone a little bit better after hearing this from you.
No,
apparently you don't have the same problems. My face will sweat, your face sweats, but apparently we have different issues.
I was at graduation. I went to my sister's graduation yesterday. It was a little bit warm, and the gentleman sitting next to me, his face was just full-blown sweat. Like, I mean, bullets just rolling down the face. I don't know if he was nervous about someone graduating or he was just hot, but I felt for the guy.
Well, you think that he showed stinks. Up? He showed up not knowing if his kid was going to graduate or
not? I guess I don't know, man. I mean, his face was just beaten up and just rolling down. I'm like, God dang, I'm a sweater, but holy Lord, somebody get this guy ice water.
We will take a timeout when we return. David Jackson is going to join us here from the OSSAA. Stay tuned to the Monsters of the Midday. Tim McMahon of the 1 o'clock hour. Always good to see you. We are here to talk a little bit today about sportsmanship. We had David Gore on the show earlier trying to recruit some officials for the sport. But sportsmanship is always a huge initiative. It's why you play the game. It's why you learn life's lessons. It's so important. How would you judge sportsmanship this past year with the schools in Oklahoma?
I would tell you, Mark, because we made a concerted effort to address sportsmanship and bring some emphasis to it, that we feel like overall it was better with a long way to go. We implemented some things that we think were effective. For instance, we sent out observers to some of the activities just to specifically monitor some of the things that went on at some of the games. And what we did with that information is we brought that back and we shared it with the school administrators to let them know what we saw and hopefully give them some ideas on how to improve things. It was a first step. It helped, but again, we have a long way to go, Mark.
Dusty?
So what kind of things are you guys trying to instill, and what kind of areas exactly are you guys kind of honing in on to bring about better sportsmanship?
Well, what we see, Dusty, way too much is kids emulating, I think, what they see at the other levels, at the college level, at the professional levels. So we're trying to drive home the point that high school athletics has an education-based component to them, and it's more than just going out and winning the game. It's about building character. It's about winning, and that's fine, but we want you to win with class and have respect for the activity and for the opponent. Over a course of time, we've seen that just deteriorate in at our level, and again, we are different than the college and the professional levels, where there is a more of a premium on just winning, but we are about so much more than that. But that's lost. It's lost on the kids. It's lost on the coaches a lot of times, because you know, frankly, it's their livelihood, and winning games is super important to the coaches. So we also try to send a message to them that high school activities has to be more than just about winning. And of course, obviously, we've got to send a strong message to the parents. You know, that's why we have to have an officials initiative to try to recruit and retain officials, because the parents put them through so much that we struggle trying to get new ones, and the new ones that we get don't stay very long because they don't want to put up what they have to put up with sometimes.
How's participation?
Participation's good. You know, we went through a little bit of a lull in participation numbers, especially with football, with the onset of the concussion scare. We saw numbers, generally with football, it's always increasing. We saw that plateau about that time that the big scare was coming on with concussions. But
back up since then?
It's been back up.
That's good news. Excellent. There's a couple of guys here that love football and don't want to see that sport go away. That's good news for us. So.
I think our national body, National Federation, has really done a good job in promoting safety rules, implementing new safety rules, and getting that information out to parents to say, hey, look, we're going to do everything we can to keep the game safe. And I think that's had an impact.
David, thanks for your time, man. We appreciate it.
Thank you all.
All right. David Jackson, the director of the Oklahoma Secondary Schools Activities Association. Dusty, what's going on at H&H today?
A little bit of everything, and especially going on this weekend, some Memorial Day weekend safe sale event going on at H&H Shooting Sports. Friday through Monday, you can take 10% off all current model year safes. 20% off all 2017 and older safes. H&H is very proud to carry the largest selection of Made in the USA safes right here in Oklahoma City, including safes from Browning and Liberty. You can take up to 20% off during this weekend's Memorial Day weekend safe sale event. Only right here at H&H Shooting Sports, I-40 and Meridian. And I got to tell you, when you come by H&H this weekend and you get some of these great savings, come by the 4U Cafe. Miss Yvonne and her staff are absolutely fantastic. The food is great. The service even better. So be sure when you stop in H&H, stop by the 4U Cafe. Marcus, the OSSAA, some good stuff going on there today. Having fun.
Exactly.
With the,
I think we meant talk. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, are you having fun with some of the coaches and staff there?
I'm absolutely having a good time today, and I think we might talk with Coach Mike Whaley here a little bit at the end of the hour, next hour. But we have a big hour coming up. We will return, speak with Jake Trotter and Tim McMahon next here on the Monsters of the Midday. Stay tuned.
Monsters of the Midday on a Thursday. 1 o'clock hour is underway. I am here today at H&H Shooting Sports off I-40 and Meridian. Mark Rogers is at the OSSAA. Let's go to the Western Conference Finals. We bring in one of the quality writers who covers the NBA for ESPN.com, Tim Ban McMahon. What's up, Timmy?
Fellas, how are you?
Doing good.
Good.
Man.
How are the Warriors, man? How are the Warriors?
Hey, so,
are they healthy?
Check this out, Tim. So, you know, the Missile, obviously, I mean, you know the Missile well. He's from Houston, big-time Rockets fan. We have a highly rated show in Oklahoma City, right, Tim? And we're coming on, and obviously, first segment, we probably talk about the series that's being played tonight with his team. So I'm like, all right, Missile. All right, Mark, before I ask you, Missile, how you feeling about tonight? Teeing him up, right? He goes, eh, it's okay, I guess. So tell me that the city of Houston, and tell me that the Rockets fans have got a little bit more life and excitement for Game 5 tonight of this Western Conference Finals. Please tell.
Yeah, it's okay.
That was the Missile. I mean,
they got their own beer and hot dogs for cheap to get them into the arena.
What's wrong with these Rockets fans, Tim? What's wrong with these Rockets fans?
People too upset about being stuck in traffic?
Well, we'll see. What the atmosphere is tonight. I'll say this. I don't get a sense that they really, truly believe that the Rockets can pull this thing off yet. And honestly, I don't get a sense that the Warriors really respect the Rockets, and I think that's come back to bite them. I think the Warriors, and Draymond Green basically admitted it after game two that they felt like, convince them win game one, just kind of show up, went through the motions, and they got spanked. And then obviously they blew them out in game three. Game four, they come out, and Steph does his thing in the third quarter. He's shimmying, the party's starting. And I think they just kind of felt like it was in the bag. And, the Rockets are a bunch of tough dudes, and they saw that. But I think the Warriors just kind of felt like they were just going to cruise down the stretch of that thing. It'll be 3-1. Series is just over at that point. And the Rockets weren't willing to just roll over for them.
Hey, that's too bad, because I think that, to me, the Warriors are very arrogant, like you said and laid out. But the last 7-8 minutes of that game had nothing to do with arrogance the other night. It had to do with the sheer will and intensity of Houston's defensive effort. That should concern the Warriors a little bit. I think they'll – go ahead.
I do think the Warriors also ran out of gas. And, look, it's not like the Rockets were going deep in their rotation. They only played 7 guys. But, obviously, the Rockets played great defense in the fourth quarter, but there were also some good looks that the Warriors missed. And, I think taking Andre Iguodala out of the rotation, if nothing else, just for the minutes that he played, really hurt them down the stretch of that game.
As far as Chris Paul and his foot, give us just a health update as you know it down there. Both Golden State Warriors players, Klay Thompson, Iguodala, and then on your beat with Chris Paul, what's injury statuses?
Klay Thompson sounds like he's going to be good to go tonight. Obviously, the knee's not 100%, but he practiced yesterday, went through shoot around today. Sounds like he'll be in the starting lineup tonight. Andre Iguodala, they're calling a game time decision. I think that it's more than likely he ends up not playing, but again, that's something that they'll determine before the game. And then Chris Paul, you know, dealt with foot soreness, and it's something that popped up late in game two. It's not a major injury, but it's something that bothered him. He wasn't as explosive as he'd like to be, as he normally is in game three. Felt better in game four, obviously looked better in game four. It's just something that he's going to have to manage probably for the rest of the playoffs.
Are the Rockets tired? I mean, is the fatigue setting in? I mean, I don't know how Draymond Green got stuffed by the rim the other night. There was nobody in the way of that. I thought that was part of that defining exchange in the game where the Rockets got three extra possessions and then a three to take the lead in the fourth quarter. So, what I mean, are they physically worn out here?
Like I said, I definitely think that was a factor. Draymond didn't play or didn't rest at all in the second half. I mean, obviously, he's a guy who uses a lot of energy defensively. It was a tough one for Draymond in terms of the highlight reel, the low light reel, when you had James Harden.
Oh, he got posterized by Harden.
Yeah, and then the rim rejecting him. Oh, it's always painful when you see a guy get rejected by the rim.
Talking with Tim McMahon of ESPN.com. Does a great job covering the NBA. He's in Houston. He's been traveling for this Western Conference Finals. Boy, Chris Paul, he had a huge game to get them to this point, but I thought his second half the other night, when it felt like the Warriors had really seized all the momentum, and as you said, we saw the shimmy, but it was Chris Paul offensively, defensively, just all over the court. Who really, I thought, willed this team to victory. Was that as impressive a half as we've seen from Chris Paul, not just in Houston, but really in his playoff career?
Well, I mean, you know, this is a guy who in the closeout game against the Jazz had 41 points, 10 assists, no turnovers. He was pretty flawless in what he had, 22 points in the fourth quarter of that. But this one, obviously, the stakes were much higher. The competition. You're talking about a potential dynasty, and it was an absolute must-have game for the Rockets. This isn't a game where they've got a 3-1 lead and they're trying to close it out. This was, if they lose that game, basically it's all but over at that point. So, I mean, you can make that case. It was certainly the most important half that Chris Paul's ever played.
Andre Iguodala, tried to warm up and didn't go in the last game. That scares me a little about him going tonight. I've tried to argue with Dusty about how important he is of a cog to this team because he's so unselfish. He defends. He does a lot of little things well. And I think that he's kind of they look to him as a reassuring figure out there on the floor. Do you have any insight on whether he's going to go or how long this injury is going to affect him?
Well, the thing is, he didn't even warm up last game. That was the plan, and then it didn't feel good enough for him to even try to warm up. They announced, Steve Kerr announced that Iguodala wasn't going an hour and 45 minutes before the game. And the fact he didn't practice yesterday, I'd be surprised if he plays tonight. We'll see. Maybe he gets treatment throughout the day and is feeling much better. But at this point, I think it's less likely that he plays tonight. And yeah, I agree with you. I think he's a really important guy.
I just love how you guys are going to educate me on the importance of Andre Iguodala. All I've said, and I will continue to say, okay, obviously, if you're at full, they're paying
heard
him
the
what,
way
16,
Dusty talked to me yesterday.
Paying him $16 million for a reason. He's not a bum. But there's four other guys on that team that are probably going to be Hall of Fame players. And the other night, they went 3-for-18 in the fourth quarter. So we could talk about how it throws off the rotations and he's this key piece and all that. That team's got four, got Kevin Durant, got Steph Curry, got Klay Thompson, got Draymond Green. I was told before this series they're an impenetrable force that can't be beaten. It shouldn't take, if Andre Iguodala goes out, they are so talented it shouldn't matter. At least that's what I've been told before this series. Now all of a sudden it's like Andre Iguodala is the glue that holds the whole damn thing together. Give me a break. I'm not buying it.
There's two things here. Andre Iguodala is a very important piece, and the Warriors deserve absolutely zero sympathy because you're right. I mean, they've got four Hall of Famers. I mean, there's no violin music playing here. Nobody's going to feel sorry for the Warriors. And look, as important as Iguodala is for the Warriors, you can make a case that Luke and Bob Mute is that guy
for the Rockets, and he's basically unplayable now because he has no rhythm. You know, he's coming off the dislocated shoulder that he did twice. He's scared to dunk the ball. He's just such a he's so out of rhythm now that he got a DNP CD last game. So, you know, as important as Iguodala is, you can say this, allow the same thing about Luka and Bob Mute. But to your point, there's no violins playing here. No one feels sorry for the Warriors.
Thank you. Iguodala did
thank those.
Point.
He did thank those All Stars for being a part of his most valuable player in the finals trophy that he won.
Yeah, you guys don't play violins in Oklahoma anyway. It's probably banjos, right?
I'm just saying. We do play banjos.
It's a wash basin. That's a violin if I've ever heard one.
There you go.
Hey, what do you think is going to happen tonight?
Man, I have no idea. I mean, this has been a crazy, unpredictable series. They take turns, lopsided wins. Scores getting higher, or the margin of victory is getting higher every time. Then we finally get a close game. And it was in the freaking 90s? Like, who would have ever imagined these two teams, two of the best offense teams in NBA history, would play a game that ends up in the 90s? So, I have no clue, but I'll say this. I think this series goes one of two ways. Either the Warriors win these next two and close it out in six, or the Rockets win in seven.
It's tough to win game seven on the road, even if you're the Warriors. They just released all NBA team. Curious as to how you voted, and I was surprised to see Damian Lillard on the first team ahead of Russell.
I didn't vote. I'm not necessarily surprised to see, and you got to remember, these things are done, not that Russ had a great
regular season.
Yeah, it's regular season, so you know the Trailblazers getting swept in the playoffs has no impact on this. And, you know, Dame was he had a phenomenal regular season. The Blazers ended up being a three seed. I believe they swept the Thunder, if I'm not mistaken. So that doesn't necessarily surprise me that Dame ended up first team over Russ. Despite the fact that obviously Russ had big numbers again.
I don't have any on here that I can really argue with too much. I guess it's a little surprising to see Steph Curry on the third team. You could have put him in place of DeMar DeRozan on the second team, but
well,
I don't know
how many games he missed. Played 51 games. So
that's right.
You know.
I'm actually listen. I would put Russell Westbrook as a better player than Damian Lillard, but Damian Lillard was great this year, and I mean it's a regular season award. I mean, Tim mentioned it. They swept the Thunder, and they finished with a three seed. So I don't think that's overly surprising.
No. And honestly, if I'd have had a vote, that's probably the way that I would have voted. Now, if you ask me which guy I'd rather have, I'd take Russ. But I
same
think
here, yeah.
Lillard had a better regular season.
How about Colin Cowherd leaving him off the top 10, out of the top 10? Did you? I would assume you didn't agree with that.
I would assume that I really didn't see what Colin Cowherd said, nor do I really put any.
I understand. It's been a topic on the station a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when your team's not in the playoffs, I guess you got to search for fodder. I understand.
Oh man, anything on the free agency market? Any little nuggets you can throw at us that you're hearing out there on the beat?
Oh,
where's
man.
Paul George going?
I mean, I think that the money is on him going to L.A. We'll see. But, you know, and look, like when you talk to people about Paul George, people are speculating. Nobody, like, it's not like, you know, any of these people with other teams have sat down and talked to Paul George. But, the expectation is that he will leave OKC. Now, again, that's speculation. That's not people who have sat down and talked to him. Nobody's gone fishing with him and got the inside dirt.
Hey, what about another player?
If you all of a sudden became a free agent, if you all of a sudden became a free agent, you were able to move to any city in the United States, where would you
choose?
Going
to Utah.
Is it? I thought Utah might be up there. Is LA? Is LA that good? I know that now. Look,
man,
tourism,
well, look,
Chamber of Commerce. It's
go
ahead.
What? I'm not an NBA player. Like NBA players love LA. I'm not a fan of it, to be honest with you. To me, it's way too much hassle, way too much traffic.
Hard
you
to
know?
Get around.
The whole club scene, I'm a 41-year-old dude. Like, what's that doing for me? But NBA players absolutely love L.A. But, I mean, that's not getting guys on its own. Like, you've seen the Lakers strike out a lot. The difference now, though, is they do have some young pieces in place, I think you can reasonably look at that Lakers roster, you know, add an all-star talent and think that they're competing for the playoffs. And, you know, it's also, is if you're Paul George and you go there, you think that you're going to be able to get another star to go with you, whether it's LeBron or somebody else.
Well,
I'll tell you what,
you're a tweener. Laker, you're not ready for the club scene at Palm Springs, and you're a little too old for the club scene in L.A.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm kind of stuck in the middle.
Lakers fans were loving LeBron and the Cavs' disappointing game last night. Well, we were talking with Doug Gottlieb last hour about where LeBron may potentially wind up. I won't get into that, but Kawhi Leonard is a guy who I've talked to you about before. Anything on that front? Is there any mending of fences, or has there been any communication back and forth between Pop, the Spurs, and Kawhi?
Yeah, you know, I don't have anything, you know, any inside info. I don't know if they've actually sat down yet. Certainly Pop, and look, Pop's also clearly dealing with a very tough time in his life with the passing of his wife. But the plan is that those guys will sit down. You know, the plan is to try to repair that relationship. But it's not the Pop-Kawhi relationship gone off the rails. It's Kawhi and the front office, you know, Kawhi and kind of the rest of the organization. So I still don't think it's going to be able to get fixed. I still, my gut is telling me that Kawhi Leonard is going to end up getting traded this summer. But we will see how that all shakes out.
Where's he going?
That I don't know. And I will say this. What happens with the Celtics this summer is going to be absolutely fascinating because they are loaded with young talent. They got picks. Gordon Hayward and Kyrie Irving, obviously we're talking about all-star players. There's a lot of pieces there, and if, you know, maybe they decide, hey, let's just keep rolling with what we've got, add these two all-stars back into the mix and move forward. Or maybe Danny Ainge tries to do something really bold, like getting a Kawhi Leonard.
It's going to be very, very interesting.
Would you keep Marcus? But how do you see Marcus Smart as part of that equation? I mean, he's one of these guys I think it's hard to put a value on. Can't shoot very good, but he's had some games in this series where he's absolutely essential to that team. And even if you put the stars back on the floor, I still think he could play that role.
Yeah, no, and he's a guy who, you know, he's just a winning player. I would be surprised because, look, if you're the Celtics, you got to look for, you know, look to the future. And these young stars you have, you're going to end up having to pay a lot of money. So you got to start thinking about luxury tax and that kind of thing. So I don't think the Celtics are going to be able to pay Marcus Smart what he might be able to get on the market. And, you know, just talking to people who cover the Celtics, they kind of get a feeling that he's at a point where he will probably take the money instead of staying in Boston. But, you know, we'll see. You don't see guys leave money on the table very often. You know, there are some examples. But this is, you know, this is his, I mean, you don't get too many chances to cash in during an NBA career, and this is his first shot at it.
Hey, last one for me, bring it back full circle to the Game 5 tonight in Houston that nobody's excited about. James Harden wasn't very exciting to watch in the second half. He was in the first half. What's going on with the beard, man? I mean, he goes into spells at times we've seen in this series and through the playoffs where you're just kind of scratching your head.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, the guy carried them in the first half of that game.
No question, no doubt.
They're down 12-0, and he scores 24 points in that half to get him back in it. I mean, obviously the Warriors are a hell of a team. He's going to be the focal point for them defensively. And, you know, he played 40-something minutes in that game. I don't think he had his legs down the stretch there. And, you know, that's something he's going to have to deal with, though, because it's every other game now. You know, it's not like he's going to be able to get or every other day now. It's not like he's going to be able to get 3 or 4 days to rest. So it'll be, and really, the thing with him is how does he shoot the three? Well, that, you know, when he's hitting those threes, he's unstoppable. But he hadn't shot the ball well, really, since game one of the series.
Enjoy the game tonight. Thanks for the time today, buddy.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, appreciate it, fellas.
There you go, Tim McMahon, ESPN.com. Mark, I heard some, there's been all kinds of stuff about Paul George. Even local guys are getting some intel. You hear anything on the streets?
No, but I can. I think we can hear what Dean had to say.
Allegedly, apparently, Paul George plans to stay with the Thunder. I know it's not what most people believe, but in separate conversations, I'm told PG's agent has told people associated with the NBA that PG believes the injury loss of Andre Robertson was huge, and he's staying. Disclaimer, though, believing everything that agents allegedly say can be dangerous to your health.
Content is elusive this time of the year. But that sounded like a fourth-person account.
I'm sorry.
Can we? Did that say?
Did he say that somebody that talked to his agent told him?
No. That's not what he said. He said that someone that spoke to an agent told sources in the NBA.
Okay. So he's okay.
Can we,
okay.
No, just listen. Let's listen closely. Hear that one more time.
Allegedly, apparently, Paul George plans to stay with the Thunder. I know it's not what most people believe, but in separate conversations, I'm told PG's agent has told people associated with the NBA that PG believes the injury loss of Andre Robertson was huge, and he's staying. Disclaimer, though, believing everything that agents allegedly say can be dangerous to your health.
Oh, man. That went full circle, man. Got the people excited, but also want to remind them, really, I'm telling you nothing.
Can you imagine the field day that Jim is going to have with that?
You can't believe the
Andre Robertson theory is the Andre Robertson injury is the reason he's going to come back?
Hey, listen. I mean, Andre Robertson, Andre Iguodala, they're key pieces to championship-winning teams. Without them, they're nothing more than a couple of good players with them. Championship level, baby. Missile, write it down.
Andre Robertson and Andre Iguodala are not the same player. They're not
Andre Robertson is to the Oklahoma City Thunder what Andre Iguodala is to the Golden State Warriors. You heard it first right here, Missile.
You're the real MVP.
Mark has allowed me to see the light. So I'm going to start putting some – if somehow Andre Iguodala doesn't play the rest of the series and it becomes a – well, they didn't have Andre Iguodala fest. Oh, boy. I'm jumping on board the Dre train. And it's championship or bust next year once he's back and healthy.
What did the guy at Cleveland do when Baker Mayfield got
drafted? Remember
he said what he said he was going to do? I'm almost to the point where I would say that if Andre Robertson ever wins a finals MVP. Okay, Andre Iguodala's been there and done it.
Hey, man, he was instrumental against the San Antonio Spurs a couple of years back before they lost in the conference finals. So, I mean,
and he's the key piece in keeping Paul George here, apparently.
That's right. I mean, he's the key piece, the linchpin. When was the last time that anyone said they want to go to Golden State?
That's worth $10 million.
They want to go to Golden State to play with Andre Iguodala. I mean, Paul George is passing up L.A. for Dre. They give this guy a little more credit. By the way, I just want to point this out. If you can't tell or you can't – if you don't understand the sarcasm in my voice and what I'm saying, I'm not being completely serious. Only kind of, sort of. Really all I'm doing
I'm being serious
you,
about this.
Telling you people, I do not want to hear that if Andre Iguodala would be playing, they'd be winning. I'm sorry that I'm sorry for the Golden State Warriors for not having their fifth best player.
When I tell you that Jake Trotter is joining us next from ESPN.com. Stay tuned.
Welcome back. It is the Monsters of the Midday on a Thursday. Before we get to the Iron Man, let me tell you where I'm at today here at H&H Shooting Sports, I-40 and Meridian, the heart of Oklahoma City. Starting tomorrow through Monday, it's a Memorial Day weekend safe sales event. We'll tell you more about that throughout the day. Mark and Mark is hanging out with the fine people at the OSSAA. Just so you know, they're looking for referees, and they're trying to enhance sportsmanship. For more information, check them out on their website, and we'll continue to tell about them. So welcome in the Iron Man of the Sports Animal, Mr. Jake Trotter. What's up, Jake?
Dusty, Mark, I got to say, that last segment was one of the best ones that I've heard on the Monsters of Midday. That was really funny. Good job.
Thank you.
Wow. Is it a Marconi, Mark?
You know what the deal is with Jake?
After watching
a couple of Big 12 baseball games today, I've immediately become more infatuated with the home run and the strikeout. Are you sure you're just not a star for entertainment?
You know, I haven't actually watched either of the games. I've been working and kind of paying attention to them. Nice win for the Sooners. Bullpen.
You're covering the games, but you're not paying attention?
No, I'm not. I'm not covering the games. I'm just paying attention. That's all.
3-1 win today, by the way, for the Oklahoma Sooners over the Texas Longhorns. Go ahead, Jake. Sorry.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, 3-1, and then I think OSU was up 1-0 early on Tech. You know what I'm actually covering is I am covering, it's going to be on our airwaves, the Super Regional in Norman this weekend, and then I've got the Women's College World Series next weekend. First time I will have ever covered that event, and kind of looking forward to it. So,
you know who else is going to be there covering the Women's College World Series, don't you?
Is that you?
No, it's not me. I mean, yes, this is me talking to you.
This is Dusty Dvorak with Jessica Mendoza.
Yeah.
Well, Adam Amin. Adam Amin. He's like, he's my mini-me, but Adam Amin. Adam,
yeah, I love
remember
Adam.
I told
Adam's
you we were going to – yeah, for like 10 days. Remember I told you we were going to try to incorporate you as our sideline analyst. This is a good opportunity. Rub some shoulders. Adam's got some stroke at the company.
Are you going to dinner?
Look at that rise ball. Oh, my gosh.
Are you going to dinner or lunch?
What do you think about that, Dusty? We'll probably, I'm sure we'll have several dinners. Yeah, absolutely.
Can I get the invite to one of those?
I'll see what I can do. No!
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Never mind then.
Of course, you're always in. Of course.
Optimistic.
Of course.
Yeah. All right. Well,
of course you're invited.
I don't want to go somewhere I'm not invited, but. You know.
I just don't know how Adam feels about Greeks. That's the problem.
We'll take
Adam,
you to the county line.
We'll find out. I mean, if he doesn't like Greeks,
it's not open anymore.
Work, but, yeah.
Hey, no, I do have a real question for you. Can you give us any update? And I saw a tweet from Cody Stavenhagen about Kyler Murray, but he did have a little twinge, I believe, sliding into second. Nothing to worry about there, correct?
You know, a lot of interesting things about Kyler Murray today. So, first of all, he had an RBI single early on in the game against Texas. Tweaked his hammy trying to steal second. He was seen in the dugout icing it. I would imagine he's probably done for the tournament with the hope that he would be back next week. I didn't see anybody say anything post-game. I think that just kind of would have happened in here in the last hour. But I think more interesting, Keith Law updated his big board for the baseball draft coming up next week. And Kyler Murray, number 38 overall. Keith Law says that he thinks that Murray has the potential to be an above-average center fielder. And then he threw in this tidbit, which I mean, maybe my head's been in the sand. But he said the reason Kyler wasn't drafted out of high school was that he refused to take the mandatory drug test before the draft. So, couple interesting tidbits related to Kyler Murray and his baseball career.
That's salacious.
You trying to infer something, Jake?
I'm sorry?
Surely that's not the only reason.
You're not trying to infer something that he dodged the draft?
I'm not inferring anything. I'm just saying Keith Law wrote that. I mean, I don't know. I have no inside info on that.
So that means he backed him up. Didn't he have him up to 36? So he's headed the other direction.
He backed him up two spots from 36 to 38. Basically, he's at the same range. He basically has him being a compensatory first-round pick, which, again, is in the $2 million range at the very least.
I
want to thank God that we're all not conducting Major League or not responsible for producing Major League Baseball mock drafts right now. I'm glad my job is better than that.
You and me both.
You know, his
I don't have strong conviction.
Yeah, go ahead, Dusty.
Just I don't have strong conviction on it, but I still would say I think he's at least going to play next year at Oklahoma, play football. Even listening to what you said again, I wouldn't put money on it. I don't feel great about it, but I would still lean that direction. I do think he's still going to want to play football.
I think all three of us would, right? Would lean that direction at this point.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm leaning that way.
I mean, I'll throw this out there. I mean, I think somebody like Joe Burrow, if he thought Kyler Murray was going to leave, might have waited it out a little bit more. Because there was a connection there between him and Lincoln Riley, and who wouldn't want to play in this Oklahoma offense the way that they've been churning along here under Lincoln Riley. But I think that we all, you know, based on people we've talked to, have a sense that he's coming back. But again,
you know, the one thing is that money's on the table. It, you know, you still have to make the decision. And there's also the scenario out there where, you know, I mean, I asked Kyler in the spring, I said, you going to play summer ball? You know, because if you're, you know, you're a big-time guy, you go up in the Cape Cod League, which I think they're actually televising this year on FS1 or something. But if you're a big-time player, you go play summer ball, even if you don't, you know, you don't sign. And, you know, at least as of, like, April, that was something that was still up in the air for him as well. So, I mean,
well that's
he could
what I
still
talk-
be playing both sports.
I talked with Mark about that last Friday. You know, my one thing is whatever he needs to do, this is my opinion, but I think he owes it to himself and his team. If he's going to play football, he's got to put baseball to the side until this football season's over. Because it is essential that he is there this summer. I think he'd still be the starting quarterback if he wasn't, but it is essential to go through workouts, to go through Pascelli, to just become the leader and guy who runs that offense, especially with the skill position players. And I truly believe that being in there, going through the grind of the summer workouts is a huge piece of guys seeing you do that, you know, thrive in that role. I do think that translates and spills over onto the game field in the fall. So
I don't think
there's
any doubt about
mistake. It. That would be a huge mistake for him to want to get the most out of this football season to have 1 foot in football and 1 foot still in baseball this summer.
I don't think there's any doubt about what you just said. And Kyler still has to prove himself that he's that guy for those guys in the locker room. I mean,
exactly.
You know, everybody's seen the talent, but there's a difference between having the talent and being the guy to lead the team. But on the other hand, if you're doing all of what you just said, you're not getting better in baseball. And his future at the professional level, I mean, we'll see, but it's in baseball.
Then go be a baseball
today,
player. Then go be
right,
a baseball player.
And that's why I think he had, like, in talking to scouts, that's why he has a decision to make. Because it's really hard to be great in either when you're still playing both.
Awesome. Hey, Jake, always good to talk to you, man. We'll look forward to seeing you at dinner this weekend. We'll give
you
the right location.
Okay, sounds good. Dusty, I mean, I'll wait for the save the date. Thanks.
It'll be next week. He comes in next Tuesday, and I'll check with my people. Have him check with his people. We'll see if we can allow Mr. Trotter at dinner.
Can't wait.
Of course, Adams. I mean, Jake's always invited, right, Mark? I mean, we don't discriminate with our fine folks
right.
that join us here on the Monsters of the Midday. Hey, Mark, I want you to tell me a little bit about what's going on at the OSSAA right now.
We are going to visit with Mr. Mike Whaley when we come back. We'll talk a little high school football. He's in charge of not only that, but some big school high school basketball, which has sent a lot of players on to the NBA here in the last few years. And we're looking for officials, and we are also looking for good sports. I mean, you can't get enough of that. So if you're an aspiring official, please contact the OSSAA at OSSAA.com.
Very nice. I'm here at H&H Shooting Sports, I-40, and Meridian. Don't miss a Memorial Day weekend safe sale going on right here. Starting tomorrow through Monday, you're going to be able to take 10% off all current model year safes, 20% off 17 and older model safes. Here's the deal. If you want to be a gun owner, I'm a gun owner, I got a gun safe. You need to have a gun safe. You need to have a responsible, proper place to put your guns away, keep them safe. Great opportunity for you to take advantage of what they've got going on here this weekend at H&H Shooting Sports. Again, it is the Memorial Day weekend safe sales event here at I-40 and Meridian. We'll talk some OSSAA. We'll get our prediction for tonight's Game 5 coming up next.
Conference Finals Game 5 tonight. The Western Conference Finals should be a lot of fun in Houston. We are at the Oklahoma Secondary Schools Activities Association. I'm joined by Mike Whaley, former Westmore Jaguar head football coach, also former Cleveland Tiger. How long have you been here at the OSSA now? About 6 years?
In dog years or regular years?
No, it's longer than that, isn't it? Right?
9 years.
Okay, yeah, time flies. That's incredible. You're in charge of football. We know you got a great football background. How's football going right now? David Jackson told us participation is back up a little bit after being down. I know Dusty and I love the sport. We want to see everybody be safe out there, and we want to see kids out there playing.
Well, I think one of the things that we've seen the last several years is the interest in concussion and how concussion impacts football going forward. I think the Federation itself has addressed the concussion issue head on. One of the things that's a little frustrating, and I'm not pretending to know all there is to know about the NFL, but it appears to me that the NFL is a little late to the table. the Federation has been way out ahead of the concussion scenario, much longer than the other folks have. And the concussion scenario in not just football, but in all high school athletics. In fact, concussion protocol is a law in almost all of 50 states now, and we have legislation in our state that we follow it and is updated year to year.
Yeah, you also were a basketball official for a long period of time. Go ahead, Dusty. Go ahead.
Well, as you said, Mark, this is a topic that I think is very important for me and you, and I've talked about it a little bit. But, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you about, Coach, is because I've got a 6- and 8-year-old, and I see the numbers diminishing on the lower level, and I feel like we have a lot of information. And I think education and information is great for parents, right? But I also think there's some misinformation out there. Like, for example, I mean, you know, soccer. There's a lot of concussions that come with soccer, different other sporting events. And I think now that we know more about concussions, what they're actually doing to these our bodies, and now we know, you know, better timetables on how to sit people out, you could say that football today is even safer than when you or I played. And I feel like the misinformation is that we see a Jim McMahon, or we see a Junior Seau, somebody who played college football and then the NFL for 10 to 15 years, and parents think that if I allow my 12-year-old or 14-year-old to play football, that's going to happen to them. And I just don't think that's the case. I mean, a lot of these CTE cases, it's the repetitive hits over time through college, through the National Football League, over a long period of time. And I feel like some parents, they see this and they hear about it and they think, if I just let my kid play high school football, this is going to happen to them. So I just feel like there's good information. There's also some misinformation that's out there.
And I think you've hit the nail on the head from the standpoint of what people are hearing and what they're believing. The original thought from the Federation back in 2008-2009 was we needed to address the one blow concussion. You know, what happened in one scenario with one blow. And I think as you've seen and things have evolved and we've learned more and studies have been made, and in those cases you mentioned with Junior Seau and those folks who have been given their brain to be studied. I mean, that's the thing about studying brain injuries. Unfortunately, the only way to study them is when people aren't using them any longer. And that's a very difficult scenario.
Your daughter, I know, is involved in athletic training at OU. I know Jeff Myers, we've had on the show before. So you guys are extremely active in this. I mean, it's not something like you brought it up at the beginning of the show or beginning of the interview. It's not like, hey, well, now we're going to start all of a sudden paying attention to this.
Oh, no. This has been on the front burner and continue to be on the front burner. I sit on the National Federation's Football Rules Committee, the very first person that speaks to the Rules Committee every year in the 8 years that I've been on the committee is the doctor who's in charge of the Sports Medicine Committee. And he talks specifically about concussions and what's going on with concussion and what we can be doing in rules. Dusty is exactly right. The game is safer now than it's ever been before.
Were you there when Coach Faverka broke the catfish record on Man versus Food?
You know, one of the things that I pride myself on is stepping back from the limelight.
Right.
And so I was there when I practiced him up at breakfast, uh-huh, at numerous lunches, but it was actual game day. I turned him loose and let him go.
It's a lot of catfish fillets for one person.
The boy can eat.
We're talking about Brian Faverka, former coach at Midwest City, who did challenge Adam Richmond on Man versus Food at the Steak and Catfish Barn. Hey, it's always great to see you. Thanks for having us up here today.
Well, it's been a pleasure for you guys to be up here. We are, as you know, as things wind down, we wind back up, and that's the way the exciting time of the year for us. School is out, and we're getting ready to start it up again because the starting of football season and the starting of school always goes hand in hand.
Thanks, Mike. Always good to talk to you.
Pleasure.
All right, we appreciate it. Dusty, what's going on at H&H today?
A little bit of everything, Mark. Always enjoy coming out to H&H Shooting Sports, I-40 and Meridian. And don't miss this weekend's Memorial Day weekend safe sale event starting tomorrow through Monday. You're going to get 10% off all current model year safes, also 20% off 17 and older model safes. And they've got the largest selection of made in the USA safes right here in Oklahoma City, including safes from Browning and Liberty. You can take up to 20% off during the Memorial Day weekend safe sale. It's all going on right here at H&H Shooting Sports. By the way, when you come in, come by the 4U Cafe. Say hi to Miss Yvonne and enjoy some of their great food. It's all here at H&H Shooting Sports.
Do we have a score from the Brick? Oklahoma State and Tech.
Missile?
As of right I do not have a score 1-1.
Top it would be something third. If 1 and 2 seeds were done before Thursday evening.
Yes, it would.
Like all the lower seeded teams won yesterday. That's kind of crazy.
Well, Oklahoma State won. Oklahoma State pulled a huge upset last year running through the tournament. So anything could happen. Anything is possible, Mark. Hey, one thing I was going to go over, we haven't spent much time on it. Any more thoughts on the All-NBA? So just so people know, All-NBA teams were announced today. Here is what they look like. On the first team, LeBron, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Anthony Davis, Damian Lillard. I really don't have a problem with that, Mark. I mean, I'm going to be honest. You think Russell, you would add Russell first?
I don't have a huge problem with it, but I would have voted for, I think I would have voted for Russell. But it's hard to go back again in time. This is the dumbest reason ever. Why they wait to have these awards is ridiculous. I mean, at the end of the regular season, it's over. Doesn't take long to tabulate votes. Look, we can get in a car that drives itself, okay? Let's tabulate these votes and come up with it after the regular season.
Missile, what about you? You cool with that list, or was there a snub?
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it, honestly. I mean, you look at it, the only thing you think of, like, Curry's on the third team, but that's because he missed a lot of games. Chris Paul didn't make it, but he missed a bunch of games. So I didn't really have a problem with it. And, of course, the big one, which I thought was Mark mentioned this, Lillard over Westbrook for first team, I thought, is a snub. Westbrook's better than Lillard.
Well, wait a minute. Now, you can't, I do think that that's problematic if you fall into that. You can't say who's better. I don't think that's.
Well, better season. You think Lillard had a better season than Westbrook? I mean, he had a great season. There's two really good seasons, but I thought Westbrook was a little better, didn't you?
Well, I mean, he averaged a triple-double. I fully recognize and understand what he was able to accomplish this year. But Damian Lillard, I mean, he had, what, averaged 27 points per game, 36% from three. I mean, I have to go through and look at everything. I mean, I don't have much of a gripe with that. And again, I would say, as much as anything, where he was able to put his team and in the head-to-head matchups. And I think Lillard missed one of those games, but he's undefeated against Russ head-to-head. They finished, what, two slots higher than him in the standings. So
one spot ahead. Thunder the 4 seed.
That's correct. Sorry, I was thinking the 6 assists.
I see. I mean, it's a fair point. It's a fair argument. It's not terrible.
I mean,
it's not egregious. You could say it's like Rocky Road Ice Cream or Mint Chocolate Chip.
If you didn't have Russell Westbrook anywhere on the top three teams, I think that's a problem. Okay, second team is this: Antetokounmpo, Russell, Embiid, LaMarcus Aldridge, who had a great year, and DeMar DeRozan. I would have probably had Steph Curry even playing the 51 games on my second team because he was in third. So if you're going to put him in third, that tells me that you're still putting him amongst the other people. That would have probably been the only difference I had. I thought the other guys well-deserving. How about Victor Oladipo, third team All-NBA this year? That's pretty incredible. I would not have thought
really
that was
year.
Possible based off the year he spent in Oklahoma City. By the way, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, Carl Anthony Towns, also named third team.
Hey, Paul George would have been eligible for the Supermax if he had stayed in Indiana. You think he would have re-signed that one? I know he told him he was going to leave, but when they throw all that money in front of your face and you're not getting anywhere close to that, I don't think players don't sign that. I think he would have still been in Indiana if they didn't trade him. We'll never know.
I don't think it matters because if he wants to leave Oklahoma City, like is allegedly reported to a friend and a third party in the NBA, that he will have turned down the $46 million in the final year of the contract, which is no way players are going to be making $46 million at that time.
That's a fair point.
So it's not about money, Dan.
We'll see.
Thunder fans are going to be pretty upset today. I'm getting some text messages from some Thunder people. Think I'm crazy. Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double. How could he not be a first-team All-NBA? I would have been fine if he was on the first. No, it was not. It was just from a couple of buddies.
That was a joke, Dusty.
Oh, well.
Was that a joke, Mark?
No? Yes, it was missile. No. Well done.
Sorry.
Yes. I wasn't picking up what you're putting
the
down.
Ultimate's not gonna, the ultimate's not going to sit there.
It was hyper-focused on those texts.
I guess it was. I guess it's for me is just whoever would have been there, I wouldn't have had much of an issue with. But
3-1 Texas know. Tech in the Big 12 tournament.
Ooh, right, that'd be an early departure.
Top third. Still early.
Okay. Can we pass the baton to the ultimate now?
We can pass it off.
All right, very good. We'll see you guys tomorrow, same time, different place. Don't go anywhere. Keep it right here on the Leader in Sports, 98.1 WWLS, the sports animal.